Welcome to the Savvy Spiritual Growth Podcast, where it's all about enhancing your spiritual life with host Suzanne Thibault, founder of the Padisma Advanced Healing Systems, intuition expert, and animal communicator. Listen to visionary spiritual leaders and learn their tips for living a divinely inspired life. And now, your host, Suzanne Thibault. Welcome to episode 6 of Savvy Spiritual Growth. I'm your host, Suzanne Thibault. And today we're talking, you can do and have and be anything you want with our special guest, Tim C. Starr. At the age of 54, Tim lost a job of 15 years with a phone call. And it was almost 2 years before he worked again, but he never suffered from depression or downtime like most of the experts would tell us we're supposed to do. He began asking himself, why not? Why wasn't he getting depressed? And he realized that the materials he'd been consuming since he was much younger had been programming his mind to have a different perspective on life. And that perspective has saved him from the immeasurable amounts of stress and anxiety and grief when you lose a job or have a traumatic event in your life. He now shares these ideas with others who struggle with those types of feelings and who are ready to begin the process of overcoming the overwhelm and beginning to breathe again. So welcome, Tim. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. That sounded pretty good.
All right. Well, yeah, because that's who you are, right? So yeah, that's who you are. So welcome. And we're ready now to hear all about how you can help people with such who might be suffering with negative perspectives about themselves or life in general. Can you tell us how you do that?
Sure. The bottom line on things is that your life is pretty much as good or as bad as you expect it to be. Mm. There's nothing. One of the great lessons that I learned from Wayne Dyer was that when something happens to you, it's not the event in itself that makes you feel bad or makes you feel good, right? It's how you think about it. And in every event, there are at least two ways of thinking about it. And, you can get hit by a car and be laid up in the hospital for 6 months, and you can be miserable. Oh, woe is me. Oh, look what happened now. What's coming next? And you can just be miserable for 6 months. Or you can decide, and this is the whole thing, is we decide every time. Mm-hmm. You can decide to say, well, I'm stuck here. Can't do anything about this, but maybe I can write a book about my experience. Maybe there's something to learn about from this. And there's all 100 different ways you can go with it, but you have to decide to do it.
Right.
And most of our decisions along these lines are just made unconsciously. We don't think about it. We don't stop and take a breath and look at a situation and consider what other options do we have in terms of how we view it.
Do you think sometimes our emotions play into that when we're trying to make a decision, that sort of the emotions get entangled in that and sort of
Your emotions? Go ahead. I don't want to jump in on top of you.
Oh, no. It's okay. Go ahead. Let's do it.
We can dance.
Yeah.
What I was going to say on that is your emotions are determined by your thoughts.
Oh, okay.
It's not like the emotions happen and they make us think a certain way. We react to things because of how we think about it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yep.
And there's as part of there's something I'll freebie that I'll offer for your audience at the end of this, but a piece of that is there's some talk in this document about this idea, and one example is death. We in this culture, it's feared and dreaded, and all these negative things. And when somebody dies, we all feel this loss. And I think that's universal. But in other cultures, it's not necessarily viewed the same way.
That's true.
You know, in the Viking culture, if a warrior died in battle, he had a golden ticket to Valhalla. Mm-hmm. And so even though his family must have felt lost because he was no longer around, they also had to be incredibly happy for this person because they were now up there sitting at the feet of Thor or Zeus or whoever, you know, they had gone straight to where they really want to be. So it's all just how you look at it.
Yeah. It's a perspective.
Yeah.
You're totally right. I think it is. I know you're a mindset missionary and I fully support you because we do need to change our perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, we're not taught to think objectively about what we think about.
That's true. The thoughts just kind of happen, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just are, we bump through life. I did that for a long, long time. Just sort of dealing with whatever showed up and whatever's, you know, immediately in front of you and not really putting much thought into, well, how can I avoid this in the future? Or how can I turn this from a negative into a positive? Or, you know, just all of the stuff that really boils down to how can I think about this differently?
Right. I've done that in my own life too, where I've struggled with my thoughts and my feelings. And it never occurred to me back then that I could make a different choice.
Yeah.
And so just knowing that you can make a different choice is empowering.
Yeah. And there's, you know, it's an interesting conundrum because there's a book that I'm working on. One of the chapter titles is "It's Your Choice. You Have No Choice."
That's awesome.
And it really is about this idea: we are walking around with this biological computer between our ears, mm-hmm. and I have spent 2 decades in the computer field. And a computer does nothing until you turn it on one and feed it some information, run a program through it.
Right.
What it does with that program is 100% dependent on the instructions and the data that it runs those instructions on. Mm-hmm. Our brains are absolutely the same thing. The difference is that our brains are constantly being reprogrammed all the time, all day long, every day. And so the result of that is whatever the running program is, whatever the existing program is, when it's asked to run, when let's say you have a car accident, just to pull something out of the air, mm-hmm. whatever your programming around that is in that moment, that determines how you're going to respond. It doesn't influence how you're going to respond. It doesn't have something to say about it. It determines it.
Gotcha.
You don't have a choice.
Okay.
The choice that you have comes in when you receive some outside information that changes that program a little bit.
And well, then how do we change? Like, is it through talking to other people and getting a new perspective or how do we change?
Yeah, it's, it doesn't matter really where the information comes from. It could be talking to somebody who just gives you a new idea. It could be reading a book. It could be listening to a podcast. It could be that you have an experience thrust on you that forces you to look at something differently.
Okay.
And you have that paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. We're hardwired, and that's another interesting paradox. We're hardwired to avoid change. Right?
Yeah, everyone thinks change is hard, but if you change your perspective around that, it's really not hard.
Change is inevitable. We have no choice about that. It's mm-hmm. coming. And the flip side of that coin, yeah, we're hardwired to almost at all costs to avoid change. The other side is I also believe that we're hardwired to seek it out. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a law of attraction believer, and I have decided in kind of writing around the subject, I've decided there's something else. There's what I call the law of transition. And that basically says that everything in the universe is in motion, right? Mm-hmm. If you start examining the most solid object you can find, and you get an electron microscope and you go deeper and deeper and deeper, the closer you get, the more you see that there are everything's made up of molecules, atoms, and nothing is solid. Everything is moving inside there. And the smaller you get to examine, the faster things are moving.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is truly unchanging. It's just a pace issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, I think there's something innate within us that is expecting change and seeks it out because we know it's coming. It's not a conscious thing. It's just, it's, you know, and that's why we get most people, I'm going to say probably everybody. We get dissatisfied with where we are in life. We get bored with the work that we do. You find yourself sometimes going, I wish I was, you know, in Tahiti.
Right.
Whatever it might be, right. You just have those random thoughts pop into your head. It's like, I'd rather not be driving to work anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think we don't have any choice about it.
Well, what practical steps can we take?
There's a number of different things. The good news is, there's good news and bad news. Uh-huh. The good news is that there is at least one method that you can find that will work for you.
Okay.
Right. The bad news is that you may have to seek it out a little while. You may have to try a number of different things before you hit on something that really works for you, that you really connect with.
So it's trial and error then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, you got to dip your toes in the water a few times and listen to different people, read some different source material, talk to different people, go join a meetup that, you know, is something that you have a little bit of an interest in and see what other people have to say. But when you find something that grabs your interest, dig deeper into that, because that's the thing that you're going to be willing to put some effort into. If you're not interested, you're just not going to do it.
Right.
So, and that's number one.
Yeah, there are lots and lots of ways to bring change to your life.
Yeah.
And it does take time to find that you resonate with. Yep.
There is no one way.
Yeah.
And there are people out there who, they may not say it, but, you know, in their presentation, they kind of lead you to believe that they believe this is the only way to do it.
Right.
And I don't care what it is, it's just flat not true.
I agree. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So find somebody that you resonate with. And then you need to, I'm doing a series of interviews with other people right now around the topic of decision.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues with decision, one of the reasons that people resist it so much, is that it means sacrifice. It really, and we're talking about big decisions.
How does it mean sacrifice?
It means that you have to give something up.
Oh.
It means that you have to let go of something that you're comfortable with holding you in place. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all do this, the same thing. We're a lot of times we're more comfortable in pain because we're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Right? We know how bad it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And if we say, all right, well, I'm going to leave that behind, even though this looks beautiful over here, I'm afraid of it. It's not logical. It's not rational.
It's not. You're right.
But
it's not.
There's still a potential for pain. And ultimately, the way the brain works, ultimately, there's a potential for death.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's really what that whole lizard brain thing is about, is avoiding dying.
Right.
So we've got to. I ran down a rabbit hole someplace. You got to understand that the sacrifice thing. You're going to have to give some things up in order to improve your situation.
But don't you think those things that we're giving up are things we don't need anymore?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
the subconscious mind is going
to
hang on.
Yes, it does. It wants
nails
to.
Dug in there and kicking and screaming sometimes. I don't want to.
Yeah.
But once you tear it away from that thing, suddenly, you know, the burden is lighter off your shoulders, and the birds are singing, and you can,
Right.
And the great thing, this is, and the thing that you used in the introduction about being able to breathe again, mm-hmm. this is, I came out of a blue collar environment and in on the south side of Chicago, and it's a huge part of the world, not just a piece of the city. It's a huge part of the world of where it's a blue collar mindset, mm-hmm. and they're proud to be blue collar,
Yeah.
And they don't even realize lots and lots of people who would self-identify as working class. They don't even realize how much they're suffering because they don't even have the thought to think, well, I wonder if there's something better than what I'm doing.
Right.
And they're just focused on the grind from Monday to Friday, and they go out and they party on the weekends and blow off some steam. But on Monday, they're right back to it. And there's not any, it just the thought isn't there to look for something else.
Right.
And you've continually reprogrammed not to.
Do you think though that a lot of people, and this happened to me and to you, we go through something traumatic mm-hmm. that then presents us with, okay, we can see other choices now. Mm-hmm. You lost your job mm-hmm. of 15 years. I had a health issue that came in that caused me to look outside and see other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those types of events, life events, can be a catalyst to helping people to see and make other decisions.
Yeah. Key words being can be.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff that happens every day that can be a catalyst.
That's true. Yes.
Right. But we're not looking for it.
Because we're sort of used to it. We're just used to being that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer, there are opportunities and solutions to our problems all around us all the time, but we're not looking.
Yep.
And when you're, when you get, people talk about being in the zone, right? And mm-hmm. and it's usually presented in this, in terms of everything's going great and I can't do anything wrong and everything I touch turns to gold. There's a zone on the other side
right.
where everything is ugly. All I can do is stare at this black hole of my problems, and I don't even know how to look away from it. And somebody with the perfect answer can come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, here it is, man. Here's your golden ticket. And you're going to brush them away and tell them to go, I'm busy. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
You're not looking for the answer. You're just focused on the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trained to do.
Right.
And everything that, first thing I mean, I've been preaching this for years, turn off the TV news.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I do.
There is
I don't
nothing
watch it.
There mm-hmm. that is going to help you.
Right.
Nothing.
It just brings you down.
Its design is to shock you mm-hmm. and make you feel bad because that's an endorphin jump start and so you want more.
Right.
But you can get that in different directions. You can get the positive directions. Turn off. That's one of the keys is you want to change your situation. Look at your sources of input.
Mm-hmm.
How positive are your sources of input?
Right.
And there's the, it's at least taken as a given that the five closest friends that you have, the five people you hang around with most, you look at them and their income levels and the kinds of lives that they have, that's where you're going to be.
Right. And I
think
sometimes,
if you're not crazy about what they look like, then you just got to start looking.
Right. And I think then those kinds of friendships will fall away once you're able to see it and then say, I want something better. I want to have more positive relationships, or I want something.
Yeah. And there's one of your sacrifices.
Right.
You're going to lose friendships when you start moving up. It's how it works. A lot of times they're going to cut you off.
That's true.
Because they feel threatened by your success or just even in a minor way.
Mm-hmm.
People will be like, oh, what makes you so special? And they have really negative reactions to other people, improving their lives.
Right.
And that's unfortunately, it's a part of the game.
It is, but it has nothing to do with you. It's all about them and their perception.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But we still, we don't want to lose our friendships. We care about those people. We love those people.
Right. Right.
You know, my mother, I love my mother, but she lived her life. And she never put it in these words, but she lived her life believing she was just a victim of the world. And she was miserable and seeking answers forever.
Yeah.
And when she was presented with something basic, and it was really, it's all about personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's your life. There's nobody else can do anything for you. And you can't take a pill to fix things. Nobody else can change it for you. You have to do some work.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yes, you do.
And she was just really, really resistant to that. I remember talking to her on the phone one day, and she had said that she was reading a book from, and I don't remember who it was, but she had to stop reading. I said, why? Because he said something I didn't like. And she told me what it was. And I was like, well, did that hit home or what? Yeah. So she at least admitted, you know, that somebody had struck a chord with her, but she didn't want to deal with it. She didn't want to face it. And she died a really unhappy person.
And there was
nothing I could have done for her. You know, it's all our responsibility.
It's a choice.
The good news is it's not necessarily it's a simple thing, right? Mm-hmm. Easy and simple are two different things, but the work is simple. You just have to want, you know, it's the light bulb. Right. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb?
Right.
The light bulb has to want to change. You are the light bulb.
Yep.
If you don't want to change, you know, just stay where you're at. Don't bother. Turn me off.
I hope that our listeners are hearing that.
Yeah.
That is a core truth right there. You have to want to change.
Yeah. You won't quit smoking if you don't want to.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You won't stick to a diet for other people. You know, when I talk with people, my base assumption, and if they're not on board with this idea, then we can't work together. But my base assumption is that the whole purpose for our being here, really, our goal is to feel happier today than we felt yesterday, mm-hmm. and to feel a little happier tomorrow than we feel today, and to keep doing things that keep elevating that happiness level.
Awesome.
And I think that is the core reason for why we make the decisions, whatever decision we make, conscious or unconscious, mm-hmm. the things that we buy, the things that we do, the people that we associate with, all of these things are just about making us feel a little better. The logic behind making the choices may not be valid.
Right.
So that's a different subject, but every choice we make is an attempt to feel better than we feel right in the moment.
Right.
So if you buy that, along with that comes the idea that this is your choice. This is your responsibility. And when people are willing to truly accept that, I'm the one driving the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not riding in the back. When I'm driving the bus, I might have my hand over my eyes, you know, but I'm making the choices, and no choice is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, okay, it's me, right behind that then is, well, you know, I better do something about this.
Yes.
Then you start to look for, okay, what do I do?
I can make a different choice.
Yeah. Then the door cracks open a little bit and you start going, well, okay. All right, I see that, and I don't like it. You know, how do I improve it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning.
And, awesome.
It's baby steps in the beginning. But the great thing is you can do some small things and see results really, really quickly.
Yes, you can.
And you can get excited about it. And once you get excited about something, it's not work anymore.
You know? Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So,
Tim, what makes you want to do this work?
The situation that you described where I lost a job, it was literally with a phone call, completely out of the blue, go home, you're done.
Wow. That's just devastating because
it's supposed to be
because you want to know why, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You're not getting the why, and it just could probably bring up all kinds of self judgment. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And what else is coming? And what now? I don't deserve this. And what happened was, I, for various reasons, I didn't work for just about 2 years, and during that time, I became consciously aware that the thought of, well, I'm supposed to get depressed over this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm supposed to go through fits of rage or something. I'm supposed to be bummed out. I wasn't. Well, and then it's okay, how come? And I had no other answer to point to other than stuff I had read from Wayne Dyer and Zig Ziglar and all the typical, you know, thought leader names that you would hear.
Yes.
There's a couple of other people that were, Robert Ringer was hugely influential for me. He wrote two self-published million-selling books, Looking Out for Number One and Winning Through Intimidation. Mm-hmm. Huge. Looking Out for Number One answered questions I didn't know I had. It was fabulous.
Awesome.
And there's some other people, but it was, and I read this stuff just because it was interesting. Mm-hmm. But the perspectives in some of those things had stuck.
That's good. Cause then when you had that job loss, you were actually able to see, I can mm-hmm. use some of these tools that I've learned.
Yep.
Yep.
And in, you know, law of attraction terms, I really had been asking for a way out of that job for probably 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I had realized I wasn't going to learn anything more in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It was a dead end job. It was a good job. I liked the people I was providing my services for. I was making good money for the job I was doing. I had a lot of freedom in determining coming and going. If I wanted to take a 2 or 3 hour lunch, I could do it. You know, so there were a lot of good things about the job, but I wasn't growing. And so in the back of my mind, I was just thinking, you know, this isn't going to last forever. I'm not growing out of this. I'm not like promoting my career, all these little things. I should probably start a little side gig repairing computers or something. And that was just this little voice in the back of my head for a long, long time, probably 10 years. And then eventually the universe gave me what I was asking for.
Yeah.
I was not asking to lose the job.
Right.
Right. What I wanted was my own terms in how I would leave that job, but I never made the decision on how I was going to do it.
Right.
So the universe eventually will come around and give you what you're asking for. It gave me my freedom from that job.
Yes.
Just not in a way I would have liked to have it happen.
Yeah.
And
right.
So during the 2 years that I was off, so that's one piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And during the 2 years that I was not working, somewhere along the line, I decided, you know, I want to try to share this stuff with other people. And I, for some reason, got a crazy idea in my head. I want to be a public speaker.
Awesome.
And started sort of poking into that and got an opportunity to do a couple of presentations for free at a school for at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what I went to talk to them about. It's about 100 miles from where I live, so there was a long drive up there. And on the way there, I do remember the whole presentation in my head changing around. But when I was there, during the first presentation, we got into talking about the Think and Grow Rich book mm-hmm. and the ideas that are in there. And, you know, I said, and nobody there had ever heard of it. And there were kids. You don't expect kids necessarily to know anything about it, but there were adults, there were parents, there were teachers. And the teachers, I don't know, I won't speak for them, but the parents, when I brought up the title, everybody was like, I don't know, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to them about, you know, this idea that this book is on virtually every business leader's must read list, but there's nothing about business in it. Right? There's nothing.
Yeah.
It's all about mindset and vibration and, you know, stuff. And it's all law of attraction stuff. And I saw thinking going on. I saw wheels turning in heads, you know, and then I was approached afterwards by adults and a couple of kids wanted to know more about these. This, what was that book again? And how does this work? And, you know, and so I came away from that experience feeling just energized and feeling like I had contributed something to some of these guys.
Right.
And I said, I want to do more of that.
Okay.
You know, I want to make a change, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the things that brought me to where I'm at and sort of set me down this new path.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm excited about what's coming.
That's great. Tim, can you share with us, if people want to learn more about you and your work, how can they connect with you?
Two things. If you go to timcstar.com/anxiety, and star is spelled with one R, so timcstar.com/anxiety, there's a free PDF download that you can get. It's 4 steps to relieve anxiety about anything. The other thing is, if you think you might want to work with me, you can go to mindsetmissionary.com and schedule a free 30-minute discovery call. We'll get on the phone and talk a little bit about your expectations, my expectations. And if it's a fit, then we'll talk about what we can do.
Well, that's wonderful.
If it's not a fit, I'll still give you a couple of tips for things that you should be able to implement right now to help you.
The main message here, listeners, is that you are not alone. There's lots and lots of help out there. And Tim, he is a mindset expert through his own life experiences. And he can help you. If this is something you feel you want to shift something in your life, then go to his website, timcstar.com, and connect with him. And yeah. I thank you, Tim, for of your wonderful words of wisdom today.
It's
inspiring.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I thank you very, very much. And remember, everyone, the show might be over, but love makes all things possible in your life. So get out there and live.
Thank you for listening to Savvy Spiritual Growth with Suzanne Thiebaud. If you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend and share the amazing energy. Be sure to check out the other episodes to ignite your personal and spiritual growth. If you are ready to develop your intuition, talk to your pets and angels, and change your life, get Suzanne's free gift at suzannethiebaud.net. Also, visit us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Google+. Subscribe to the Savvy Spiritual Growth Podcast on iTunes.